Good morning, gentlemen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with humble hearts this morning, just to give you glory and to hear your word. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would illumine the scriptures, the very words that you've given us, that we might know you, our one triune God, more intimately. Who is the perfect, that we would see the face of Jesus lifted up, who is the perfect reflection of who you are. Father, we ask that you would change us from one level of glory to another and conform us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's any here that don't know you, Father, we just ask that you would draw them unto you. Draw them unto Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, the theme of this retreat is biblical manliness. So we want to consider for a moment how the world evaluates a man. They look at things like physical appearance, money, power, job, success, power. But God looks at a man, his man, quite a bit differently. And so there's a virtue that's in the dictionary that we're going to launch off of that'll lead us into a right understanding how God builds his man. And it's a word that we don't hear that often these days, but it's called fortitude. And so I want to give you a dictionary definition according to Webster and many other sources putting it all together. Strength of mind that enables one to bear misfortune, pain, etc. with courage. Basically, a man is a man when he stands on principle, has the courage to uphold that principle and to that principle, to act against any opposition to that principle. He courageously faces challenges, attacks difficulties, and bears up under adversities with strength. This is a man with fortitude. Women, on the other hand, they seek to be protected, to be nourished and cherished. They seek to be made secure. Men are designed by God to be saviors, protectors, deliverers, and securers of their wives and children. And so I want to expand this a little bit, and this is going to be our launch. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 16. And we're going to add a little bit to this understanding of fortitude and what really makes a godly man. First Corinthians 16:13. Paul writing to the Corinthians, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And this word in the original language is only here. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Old Testament and we're going to see how this definition, this theme is carried out throughout the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a few. But I want you to notice, be on the alert. A man is a protector. Whether he's a leader in the church, he's a protector of the flock against false teaching. If he's a husband, a father, a grandfather, he's a protector of his family against any kinds of danger. And he stands firm in the faith. Notice the article, the, right before the word faith. It's a definite article which is speaking of the truth of God's word, his holy scriptures. So what we have is a man of God that stands on principle. His principles are the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit does a work in lifting up Jesus Christ and showing the glories of our Lord, he forms convictions in our hearts that we would stand firm on his principles and believe in our triune God. And Paul exhorts to act like men, to be strong in what you believe, to be firm. And the only way that comes is by getting into the Word to know our triune God. Be strong. Be strong in your mind to carry out those things, to face challenges that come in cities, to face difficulties, to face adversities, to resist the temptations of sin. This is what God defines as a godly man. And so I want to show you a little bit how much this is used in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some examples. So turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 31. Okay, Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the kings of Canaan. And the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will deliver them up before you and shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua, said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people in the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Wow. Here Moses is commissioning and handing off the leadership of Israel. And he is to fulfill the promises of God. And he exhorts him to do it in the strength of the Lord. To have your faith in the Lord, because he's with you. And as he wills, you will do anything in his strength. If we just trust him and take rest in him. We're going to look at more of these. Turn over to 2 Samuel, going to the right. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And if you recall, they're going to dispossess many nations, many people in this land that God has promised them. And so many obstacles. And notice, God is going before them, but they're not sitting in lounge chairs. They're having to go and face enemies. Again, and so what we see here is again another battle that Israel is coming up against with King David. And verse 7, when David heard of it, he sent Joab, who was his officer of all the soldiers. He sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. Men are strong. A real man is strong, but not just physically over women, but mental strength, fortitude, trust in our God. And look at down at verse 12. Again, here we're exhorted, "Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight." Here's Joab exhorting the army, all the people, "Be strong." And he's exhorting them to be strong, be courageous, have fortitude, and trust the results to our great God and Savior. Turn to the right again, over to 1 Kings 2. Starting at verse 1, as David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man." In Isaiah 19:16, The scriptures say, in that day the Egyptians will become like women, and they will tremble and be in dread. Like women. So he exhorts them, show yourself a man to watch and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimony, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Notice it's always linked together, God's strength being carried out in our lives in obedience and trust in him. We can't do this without our Lord, to go through this life, to endure all the difficulties, to face all the calamity that comes our way, to be able to go out to the ends of the earth and reach all nations for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to fight against temptation of sin, to fight against all the schemes of the devil. We can't do this without an obedient relationship with our triune God. Turn to the right again, over to 1 Chronicles 22. Here David is given a word to his son Solomon. David originally wanted to build a temple for God, but God said, nope, you're not going to do it. You've shed too much blood. And so you can read all these things to get all the understanding. We just are limited on our time here. But the thing is, your son is going to build that temple. And so look at verse 5. And David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all lands. Therefore, I will make preparation for it. So David made ample preparations before his death. And so at least he got to be a temple, to do all the prep work in building this awesome temple for God that's going to be known throughout the world. It's a monumental task. David knows that. So he tells his son, verse 12, only the Lord give you discretion and understanding, give you charge over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you shall prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Wow, does that ring in your ear? You know, as I stand up here, yeah, I don't do this often. But you know what? Our Lord is with us, those that are trusting in him, those that are following, not Jesus Christ, and obeying him, not perfectly, but in desire and carrying out a practice that truly reflects the work of God in your life. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 32. Again, another battle that Israel is facing. And here we have King Hezekiah. And verse 6, he appointed military officers over the people and gathered them to him in the square in the city gate and spoke encouraging words to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the multitude which is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with us is the Lord. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Wow. And so what we want to do is kind of sum up this theme. I want you to turn back to the left and go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. "Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I have spoken to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the your territory, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory.'" Wow. God not only commissions us in obedience, but look at his grace being poured out, his promises that he wants to do in the lives of those that belong to him. Verse 5, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way handed you, and then you will have success. Have I commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That describes somebody that's being encouraged to be a man of fortitude, to be a man with strength of mind that's built on the Word of God, that forms strong convictions of our God. And when you have a man with fortitude, you have a man that's attached in a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and our triune God. When you have a man that's obedient to the Word of God, to read, to study, to meditate on the Word of God, to know Him intimately, to know His ways, to know His will. In Romans, do like what the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 encourages the Romans to be that holy and living sacrifice, which is our acceptable duty. That we would show what the will of God is. Peter told us in 2 Peter 2, we have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it's found here. And it's found in trust in our triune God. Verse 9, at the end, that idea, do not tremble or be dismayed. If you recall, a couple weeks past, our pastor Steve was preaching out of Mark during a horrific Jesus in the boat with his disciples, during a horrendous storm. And he's back there sleeping. And the disciples are flailing all over the place, freaking out, thinking they're going to die. And they wake Jesus up and say, don't you care? And he says, oh, man. I mean, he's just kind of shaking his head. And instantly calms the storm. Makes the water glassy. You can't do that on a large sea like Galilee in the midst of one of those horrendous storms unless you're the God of the universe. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who created each and every one of us, who created everything. And He sustains us. He sustains the universe. And then He came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's those that the Father has chosen and gave the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 tells us. And gave them as a love gift, as a bride, to His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of history, He's going to gather that bride. And He's going to offer that bride with Himself back to God the Father. So that God will be all in all, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. But now, we need to put a little flesh on this. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the illustration of fortitude, of integrity, of what a man of God looks like. So I want you to turn with me over to Daniel 1. When we think of how God looks at a man that lives for the glory of God, he's one of fortitude. He's one of integrity. He's one that protects his family. He's one who raises children in the instruction of the Lord. He's one who cherishes and loves and respects and lives with their wives in an understanding way. He's one that makes the family feel secure. They're provided for, all in the strength of our Lord. A godly man is one that leads the church. He protects the body. He protects the sheep. He understands that this is Jesus Christ's church, and he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He watches out for false teachers. He watches out. He cares as a flock of the great shepherd, of the flock of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to look with me in Daniel 1. And verse 1, this is under the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar, and we're not going to go into all the historical background. You can check that out for yourself. But we're going to start at verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were from the sons of the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commanders of the officials assigned new names. Well, we're not going to go into the new names. Those were names that were named after Nebuchadnezzar's gods. So we're going to stay with the names that God gave them. Verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now what you need to understand is that the Jews were under a special dietary law in order that God might separate his people from all the pagan nations at that time. And as far as wine, wine wasn't forbidden. But the thing is, Daniel doesn't want to be a part of the world. He wants to be separated for the glory of God. He wants to trust in the and if of our Lord instead of the provisions of a king. And if you notice, these men, stood on principle, stood on conviction. They wanted to please their God, our God. They wanted to give honor and glory to him. And so they didn't want any part of the king's ways as far as that goes. And so in obedience to their conscience, in obedience to the convictions that the Spirit of God has put in those men, they stood their ground. They were strong. They were facing adversities potentially. And so verse 9, because of that, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of my lord. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who's Nebuchadnezzar, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are of your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given some vegetables to eat and water. This sounds like a vegetarian diet. Many people mishandle this area of the Word of God and think that we should avoid any and everything that doesn't fall under the heading of a vegetarian diet. But that's not the point here. The point here is their diet would cause an average man to be frail, to be weak, to start wasting away. But Daniel and his in their God, they have trust. They have faith in their God that he's going to perform what he wants to perform according to his glory. And so verse 13, then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Now imagine for a second. Here's something for a little background. Is Daniel and his buddies at this point in time are young men, only around 15 years old. 15 years old, standing firm in obedience to God. And imagine the temptation for these young men to be the most in the king's court, eating his food, the most tasteful food and drink in all the land, the best of the best. I mean, you talk about the best restaurant in town, and yet they gave it up because they wanted to please their God and glorify him. Verse 16, so the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine that they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. And as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, that's at the end of those 3 years, which the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, this person, Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. Can you imagine? At this point now, we're talking about 18-year-olds. At 18, I can remember scrambling all over the place trying to figure out how I'm going to make a living and have a family the rest of my life. Can you imagine being presented with the king at this time? He was the king of the whole known world. And can you imagine being put into service under his courtship? Incredible. Imagine President Trump coming here and asking you to be one of his assistants, you young guys. And so verse 20, and as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the and Daniel and the conjurers who were all in his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. And that would be for a period of about another 67 years. Look how God lifted them up. Look how God blessed them because of their obedience and trust in him. And they faced many more trials down the road. And what I want to challenge you guys to do is follow up and read Daniel 6. Speaks of the lion's den for Daniel. And the thing is, he was in a position over a lot of officials and serving with other officials. And these guys were jealous of Daniel. And so they came up with a scheme that put Daniel in harm's way with King Darius. And because the king made a decree, a petition, for 30 days that violated the principles of Daniel, one man was faced with obeying God or obeying man, as Peter talked about in Acts. And Daniel chose our great, awesome, triune God. And look how God blessed him. And look at all what God did with Daniel and his friends. And here, when he was thrown in the lion's den, God shut the mouths of the lions. And then the truth came out later. What these officials did to Daniel. And what the king did is he performed justice on those men for doing evil to Daniel. And threw them and their families into the lion's den. And it actually went down, I think it was kind of a hole, and before they even hit the ground, the lions were devouring them. Sometimes it seems like unbelievers prosper. And sometimes they do. Life. And sometimes Christians get injustice in this life. But you know what? We belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on our behalf to make us right with God, to make us righteous in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he, being Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might be part of God's family and be invited into that relationship with the Godhead of our triune God. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Men. Men of God. Give into fear, pressure, intimidation, or temptations. They don't compromise. A godly man walks by the Spirit of God to please him in all their ways and to give him the glory he so deserves. I want to close with this. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 3:18. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about Moses, how he had to put a veil over his face after going in the presence of God. And it caused fear and trembling to the people of Israel. And he had to keep that veil on his face. But we that have come to Jesus Christ now have had that face to face removed. And we come into the very presence of God face to face in a spiritual way. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Spirit, which is the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That sounds like a lot, but that's the Spirit of the living God, our precious Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God as you read and study and meditate on it to know Him. He illumines the Word of God to give you the wisdom and understanding that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ and to see all His glory. And we are to another, transformed into His image, from one level of glory to another. I can't tell you, men, enough. When men start walking like this, with fortitude, with integrity, getting into the Word of God to know Him, you will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be bold to confront any adversities, any temptations of sin, any issues in life, and you will do it triumphantly. And even if you feel weak, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just really ask that you would move the hearts of these men to be the men of their families, provider, protector, defenders, to stand on your word, that they would get into your word to know our triune God intimately and trust the results to him. Oh, Father, we got a great task ahead of us, just daily living and reaching those that are lost to the ends of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, may you be gracious. May you be merciful. May you empower us with the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand, Father. Oh, we ask all this for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.